is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Over the last week, clerks around Wisconsin have been putting their election equipment to the test. It's a common practice. They've been doing it for years. But these days, they hope inviting the public to see it all for themselves helps prevent misinformation. Mike Moen reports.
According to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, all municipalities must conduct a public test of their electronic voting equipment within 10 days of each election. Algoma City Clerk Aaron Miller describes it as a pretty detailed run-through.
We will take the voting machine out of the vault, and we will go through the whole process of putting the cartridges in the places where they're supposed to go, adding the safety seals, recording the safety seals, and then putting the test ballots through the machine to ensure accuracy.
In a recent Gallup poll, 57% of Americans say they're confident votes for president this year will be accurately counted. However, partisan gaps have widened, with faith and accuracy waning among Republican respondents. In a battleground state like Wisconsin, Miller says these tests are important so administrators can show how consistent they are in overseeing elections. She says they're a good training opportunity, too.
I have my poll workers put a blank ballot through so they can see what happens, you know, with the machine. I have them put a ballot that somebody maybe happened to overvote in a certain selection, so they can see how the machine is going to react to that.
If something abnormal pops up during testing, state law requires local clerks to remedy the situation before voters can use that machine on election day. Administrators around the country have said they're relying on aging voting equipment, with calls to boost federal funding for that type of infrastructure. Miller says her team is lucky because their machines were recently upgraded. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Packers lose to the Lions. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Lions in a game with heavy rain, 24-14 in favor of Detroit. Green Bay receivers dropping several passes. The Packers penalized 10 times for 67 yards. Matt LaFleur.
I was disappointed with the number of penalties and just self-inflicted wounds that we had, and you can't do that against a really good football team.
The Packers now 6-3 heading into the bye. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell at a loss for words after losing to the Iowa Hawkeyes 42-10.
Well, there's not a whole lot that words can say to explain, you know, how I feel. Just the same kind of thing he said in the locker room. It's really, really tough to put it to words right now. We're going to have to pick ourselves up. We're going to have to move forward, and we're going to have to find a way to make sure we're better.
The Badgers fall to 5-4. Baseball Brewers outfielder Sal Frelick and second baseman Bryce Terang each named Gold Glove winners. The team declined closer Devin Williams' option for next season, although he remains on the roster for now. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The John and Gordy Show.
Optimism alone is not enough to ward off despair. But hope can, regardless of how things may turn out. Hope is what can still get you to the better place eventually. Mm-hmm. So you don't have hope because you expect things to turn out well. You have hope because what that hope is rooted in is worth it regardless.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes piña coladas, but hates getting caught in the rain, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to be with you tonight here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live tonight from Madison, Wisconsin, just above State Street here, the night before the election. I'm in town here. I'm going to be helping out tomorrow with some of the election coverage from the same time, 6 to 8 with Jane Mattenair. Looking forward to that, but thought, why not go down to Madison and do my show Monday night? It's always so much fun to do the show from here and let Conrad run amok back in the studio in Green Bay and have his kegger parties and order pizza and run around like Tom Cruise in his underwear. How's it going, Conrad?
You know, it's a little depressing downtown now because it just started to rain. And
oh, yeah.
It's getting a little colder out, but it was nice out today for a little bit. You know, it's nice and warm.
It's like We made that sad gelato thing. We can't even play it.
Yeah,
it's been
I know.
The greatest fall ever. It's happy gelato until we get the first snowstorm, I guess. So.
I did see some people eating gelato.
Well, people tend to like their gelato, especially on Washington in Green Bay. But wherever you are joining us from tonight in this beautiful state of Wisconsin, it is great to have you. Conrad, if you please, tell people how they can watch Nightlight tonight, because it's a big show tonight.
Yeah.
Tell them how they can watch it on the radio.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Schwabba, whatever.
WGBW and on WISS. And then YouTube, we're on Civic Media or WGBW, and on X, Civic Media or WGBW.
You called it X for the first time.
I regret it.
Have you matured, or was it a slip-up?
It was a slip-up, I think.
I still think it's Twitter. That is a place you want to stay away from, though, if you are trying not to think about the election. And let's just do that right away. That's our question tonight, folks. What have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? Tomorrow's the big day. It's here. We've been doing our best to keep everybody's mind off of it. If you don't want to think about it, I like to think of Nightlight as an escape. During this election season, we've had a few people on talking about getting out the vote, but it's been a good time to talk to them about entertainment too. So it works both ways, but, tomorrow is the big day. I know if you're like me, you've had it with all of the election talk. You can't stream anything without constant political ads. So given that tomorrow is election day and it all should go away after that, at least the ads and the constant barrage of political ads, what have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? That's tonight's question. Please let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Maybe you give us some ideas, because tomorrow's going to be rough, too. Most people probably aren't going to want to watch too much TV tomorrow until maybe tomorrow night. But if you do, tune in here on the radio at Civic Media. We'll be broadcasting on the stream. It's basically TV. So you'll have an opportunity to check out all your favorite personalities here at Civic Media pitching in tomorrow to cover the election and keep you informed. But for tonight, we have one more night. What have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? That's the question. We have a really fun show tonight. Great guests. So Mike Rowe is going to join us at 6:35. He is not the Dirty Jobs Mike Rowe. He is a friend of mine who's also a very successful TV writer. Mike has written a book that's excellent, and we are going to ask him about that book. And it's you can get it on Amazon. It's very funny. The book is called, where is the book? Oh, It's a Funny Thing, How the Professional Comedy Business Made Me Fat and Bald. That's the title of Mike's book. And he is a very successful writer, as I mentioned. Futurama, Family Guy, King of the Hill. He's written for the Martin Short Show. He does several, a lot of the Comedy Central roasts or Netflix roasts. So Mike will be here at 6:35. I'm very excited to talk to Mike. And then at 7:05, this is exciting, folks. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite will be here. You probably know him as Uncle Rico. I've been following this guy's career and have loved it. His entire career, I first saw him in a movie called Real Genius. He was the guy that lived like in the walls and downstairs, the Val Kilmer film. And he was just great. He was this quirky character. Then he was in a movie called Running Scared, comedy caper with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines in Chicago. And he played a cop in that, and he was great. And I was like, man, who is this dude? Two very different roles, and he was great at both of them. Not huge roles, but that's kind of how he's built his career. He's just a really solid actor. So I'm very excited to talk to John Grise at 7:05. We'll talk to him because in Madison this coming weekend, on the 9th, at the Barrymore Theater, Napoleon Dynamite Live is happening. That's this coming Saturday night, November 9th, Napoleon Dynamite Live. John will be there. Ephraim Ramirez will be there, who played Pedro. And Napoleon himself, John Hyder, will be there. They will all be there. They're going to show the movie. It's a question and answer session. What a fun time. I loved that movie. And it should just be a really fun night. So John is going to be here at 7:05 to tell us a little bit about that. And then at 7:20, coming into the studio, this is exciting too, from Mascot Theory, Eric Challen will be here. He's going to perform live in the studio. We've showcased Mascot Theory's music on Nightlight before when Terry Barr has come on for Bar Band Friday Night. She's brought some Mascot Theory music with her, and it's just great. They're a great local band. Eric will be here at 7:20. Now, coming up, batting leadoff tonight in just about 5 or so minutes, we have an interview I did a couple hours ago with the legendary John Legend, who is trying to get out the vote, and wanted to talk a little bit about how he's doing that. So we said, sure. And of course, I asked him a couple of questions about his career too. And he was a really fun interview. Conrad, how cool was he?
It was awesome. He was so energetic. It was great.
That's a great word for it. He was very energetic, and he was really fun to talk to. It's not a very long interview, but that's coming up in just a few minutes. I did not ask him about Chrissy Teigen. So I had to let that go. I had to edit my questions. I didn't have a whole lot of time with him, so I had to be efficient. But that's coming up in just a few minutes. So you got John Legend, great comedy writer Mike Rowe, John Grise, who played Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. He was also very funny in White Lotus season one.
Yes.
He was hilarious in that. So he's just I love the guy. He's a great actor. Very excited to have him on the show. And then Eric Challen will be here in studio at 7:20. So that is a show, ladies and gentlemen. So it's great to have you here. Please, as usual, text in. Let us know what you're thinking about anything we're talking about. You can even text in your favorite Napoleon Dynamite lines or your favorite John Legend song. However you want to do that, it's always great when you guys are more a part of the show. Conrad, on this show, I would say over the last couple weeks, we've had two or three guests that when I ask them what they're watching on TV, they've mentioned Slow Horses.
Yeah.
And Rob Thomas was one of them. I watched it this weekend. Really good show on Apple TV. Loved it. And I'm on like episode 4, but Gary Oldman plays this kind of despicable MI5 operative who runs this small group called the Slow Horses. And it's got some humor, but it's also listed as a thriller. So that's my kind of show. A little bit of comedy when it's warranted, but also some great, really great kind of tense scenes. Really liked it a lot. So I recommend it. So far, so good. I'm not going to put it in the beats yet as a Pete's pick, but I think it's getting there, and it's gotten great reviews. So I'm going to stick with it. I'll let you guys know. Let me know what you're watching. Did you watch anything, Conrad?
Well, sadly, my membership for Apple TV just ran out yesterday. I think I'll go back through it, though.
After Bad Monkey?
Just because I love the TV show Shrinking, like I've said.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might renew it just because I want to keep watching it. It's so good. But this weekend, I didn't watch too much. I watched, football, obviously. But I also rewatched The Fall Guy. I wanted to give it another chance. I don't think I gave it a fair chance.
And?
I don't know.
It was about the same?
There's just some moments in it where you feel like you know what's going to happen. Or it's just, I don't know. I still think if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's a fun movie.
Escapism, sure.
But
it is. No, I mean, that's kind of, it's just kind of a fun, if you're in the mood for that,
yeah,
you'll probably like it. I was expecting a little more. I'm kind of where you are with that. But that's the thing, too, about, like, Apple TV. It's only, like, I want to say it's $7 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like that much. But then you get Peacock and Paramount Plus and Hulu and Netflix. And all of a sudden, you're up to, like, $70 a month. Well, you're up to $70 a month if you're getting Netflix alone and, like, HBO Hulu. That's going to put you at 50 or 60 right there. And all these smaller ones, they add up too, but it's hard to cancel them when they're so cheap. I don't know. It's weird. Did you see Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, yeah. I should have rewatched it, but yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but that was one of my favorite childhood movies.
Same. I have seen it so many times because my kids loved it. When my daughter was like 3, she loved the Napoleon dance scene, and she would watch that over and over. And it was one of those films I knew, like, line for line. I literally knew every line in the movie. And I haven't seen it now in a few years. So I'd probably sit back down and really like it. But I love this. If I lived in Madison, I would be going to the Barrymore website right now and getting tickets to Napoleon Dynamite Live, because that sounds like a really fun night. Like, to watch a movie in an old, historic, really cool theater where you know people, where you're sitting with everybody else who already loves the movie. There's going to be huge laughs. And then, you know, you get to meet these great cast members. I mean, that is that's a great thing. And it would, if we could have coordinated this, the powers that be would have had the election on Friday. Maybe we could have had John Grise actually in the studio, but I have no idea when he's coming to Madison, but he will be here to talk about the event at 7:05. That will be fun. And are you lamenting your Packers, Conrad?
Yeah. We don't have to talk about that. Like, we don't have to talk about that.
Were you expecting them to win?
I was, no, but.
Even though it was at home, you still thought they would lose?
I just think that we could have played better at home. We had the home field advantage, you know, kind of, but yeah, could have played a lot better. Going into the bye week, they gotta get better.
Malik.
I don't know about that.
All right. This is great. It's so fun to have you guys with me. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Hope you're having a great night. It's almost over, folks. The election is almost behind us. Let's get through one more night here on Nightlight and then pick it back up again Wednesday. A really packed show tonight. You're not going to want to turn that radio off or the streamer or however you're listening. Coming up next, famous composer, musician, piano prodigy, big time. He's beyond an A-lister. My interview with John Legend will be on next, followed by my interview with Mike Rowe. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 107.5 WLAK and the Civic Media app. The
Todd Alba Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm Brittany Merlot. Count on us. On air at 98.9 FM WXCO, on the web at BullFallsRadio.com, and always on the Civic
Media
app.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
It is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time ever, composer, producer, writer, musician, John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, so great to have you. Welcome to Nightlight, my friend.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
You and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Schwabba is like the upside down E, you know.
Oh, yes. That's my fate. That's right. Well, it's great to meet you. I know you're doing a lot of campaigning for Kamala Harris. What exactly about her do you think will make a great president?
Well, I think she's a great listener. So she's been going around the country and really listening to people and their concerns. She's been visiting communities all over the country, learning what issues they're facing, real kitchen table issues like the cost of rent, the cost of health care, the cost of groceries. She's been listening to all that. And then because she cares about people and she actually wants to make a difference in their lives, she's taking what she's heard and really formulating policies around that stuff. So you've seen her in her very, you know, shortened campaign, roll out some really great ideas for how to address the needs of the American people, whether it's new parents getting a child tax credit, new homeowners getting help with their down payment, new small business owners getting help starting their business. All these areas where people are dealing with affordability and all the other issues that people are dealing with every day. She's thinking about those, and she's going to go to work every day trying to make it easier for people to live a good life and to live the American dream. And, you know, when you compare that to her opponent, who seems to only think about himself, his enemies, and who he's going to get revenge on, I'd much rather have somebody who's going to work every day thinking about how to fix people's problems rather than who they can exact retribution on.
Exactly. That's well said. And I think the prescription drug issue is very important to people, too.
Question. And let's just think about what's already happened with the Biden-Harris administration. They've been able to negotiate 10 of the most expensive highly prescribed prescription drugs. Negotiating those prices for Medicare means it's going to drive down the prices for everyone. And then capping the cost of insulin for seniors has been huge. And she wants to extend that to the entire population, not just seniors. And if you think about how much money people have to spend on health care and on particularly on prescription drugs, we don't pay the prices everyone else around the world pays. We pay more than everyone else. Right. And for a president to know that and to actually want to fix that is going to make a huge difference in people's lives.
Great answer. It's interesting. You've been campaigning for her in Ohio, Pennsylvania, two states you have a close connection with.
Yes.
Very blue collar. Ohio used to be a swing state. Who knows what will happen now? Yeah. But how do you relate to those two states in your upbringing and how it affected you, A, as a voter, and B, creatively, and what it brought to your career?
Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes people will say, well, you're just a Hollywood celebrity. What do you know about my life?
Right.
And of course, most people that live in Hollywood and work in the arts in Hollywood, they usually come from somewhere else. And I came from Springfield, Ohio. My dad was an auto worker. He was a UAW union man for his entire career. He's, you know, partly living on a UAW union pension now. And he worked really hard, and we didn't have it easy, but we saw what it meant to have a job that you could rely on, that paid you a decent wage and good benefits, things that unions have had to fight for over the years. And so I really know what it's like to live the kind of experience that a lot of Ohioans and Pennsylvanians and Wisconsinites, all of us have lived a pretty similar experience. And so when I go out and talk to folks in my home state and in states across the Midwest and the Northeast, I talk about what we all have in common and a lot of the concerns that people are feeling all around the country and how politics interacts with those concerns and how important it is for us to elect leaders who are thinking about those issues and actually want to make a difference in people's lives.
Great answer. And another thing we have in common, John, the Wisconsin-Ohio connection, I'm assuming neither of us have ever eaten pets. So that brings us closer together, too.
Yeah, and you know, it's a joke, but it was also such a insidious lie that brought a lot of danger to my hometown.
Horrible, yeah.
You know, after Trump and Vance were spreading those lies about the Haitian migrants in my hometown, we were getting bomb threats in my city, and my mother still lives there. My two younger siblings still live there. I still own property there. And it was not safe for our community after those lies that were being spread. We had the KKK marching in the street, bomb threats being called into elementary schools and middle schools, and all this because people who are supposed to be leaders were spreading misinformation and endangering the lives of the people that they're asking to lead. And we just can't have leaders doing that. It's so irresponsible and so divisive and so hateful. And, I just feel like America is ready to turn the page from all that nonsense and elect a sane leader who just goes to work every day trying to make people's lives better.
Well, we'll find all that out tomorrow. Keep getting the word out, John. It was great to meet you. Anything you got coming out that we can look forward to?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be touring for Christmas. So I don't know where the closest show to Wisconsin is, but if you all go to my website, johnlegend.com, and check out my Christmas tour dates, I just released a children's and family album called My Favorite Dream. So especially new parents who would get a child tax credit if they voted for Kamala Harris. check that out because my kids love it, and I'm finding that so many kids and parents love the new children and family album. It's called My Favorite Dream. And, just stay tuned. Follow me on socials, and I'll always have some new stuff happening.
You got it. Thanks so much, John. Keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to that anything new you put out. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Okay, buddy. That's John Legend. Great answers. What did you think about that, Conrad?
That was awesome.
Very engaging guy.
Yes,
huh?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was fun. It was good to meet him. When we were working out, Jackie, you set the world on fire. You came and gifted us. Your love is
download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Over the last week, clerks around Wisconsin have been putting their election equipment to the test. It's a common practice. They've been doing it for years. But these days, they hope inviting the public to see it all for themselves helps prevent misinformation. Mike Moen reports.
According to the Wisconsin Elections Commission, all municipalities must conduct a public test of their electronic voting equipment within 10 days of each election. Algoma City Clerk Aaron Miller describes it as a pretty detailed run-through.
We will take the voting machine out of the vault, and we will go through the whole process of putting the cartridges in the places where they're supposed to go, adding the safety seals, recording the safety seals, and then putting the test ballots through the machine to ensure accuracy.
In a recent Gallup poll, 57% of Americans said they're confident votes for president this year will be accurately counted. However, partisan gaps have widened, with faith and accuracy waning among Republican respondents. In a battleground state like Wisconsin, Miller says these tests are important so administrators can show how consistent they are in overseeing elections. She says they're a good training opportunity, too.
I have my poll workers put a blank ballot through so they can see what happens, you know, with the machine. I have them put a ballot that somebody maybe happened to overvote in a certain selection, so they can see how the machine is going to react to that.
If something abnormal pops up during testing, state law requires local clerks to remedy the situation before voters can use that machine on election day. Administrators around the country have said they're relying on aging voting equipment, with calls to boost federal funding for that type of infrastructure. Miller says her team is lucky because their machines were recently upgraded. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Barbenheimer 2.0 is just around the corner, with films Gladiator 2 and Wicked kicking off the holiday box office season in a couple weeks. However, last weekend's box office did not impress. The movie Here, starring Tom Hanks, Robin Wright, and directed by Robert Zemeckis, landed with a thud on opening weekend. Here did not review particularly well, and audience approval is hovering at around 60%. The film whiffed big time with only a $5 million opening weekend, which landed it in fifth place overall. Repeating as box office champ following its opening weekend is Venom: The Last Dance. The third and final chapter of DC's Venom franchise took in $26 million domestically. Rounding out the top five are The Wild Robot in second place, Smile 2 at number three, and Conclave at number four. Another disappointment at the box office was Liam Neeson's new action film Absolution, which finished in 12th place, barely cracking $1 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Aaron from the 920, our question tonight is, what have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? We are in the home stretch, folks. One more day to go, and then hopefully our lives continue as normal. We'll see. Aaron from the 920 says, to take my mind off the election this weekend, I watched Toy Story and Toy Story 2, two of my absolute favorite movies, and I hadn't seen them in years. Those are two of my favorite as well. Live action, animated, you name it. Two incredibly solid, amazing films. Andrew from Maine says, Nightlight on YouTube. Oh, great. All right. That's why we're here. We don't really do politics here unless John Legend is on the show like he just was. Then we kind of we let him dip his toe in there, but we got something out of it, too. Did a little entertainment talk. But Andrew says, Nightlight on YouTube. It's like a low-budget TV show. Thank you. But with better-looking faces. Wow. I am lit perfectly, Andrew. Thank you for that. And thanks for listening or watching. Steve from Florida says, I've been playing more golf during election time. And you know what? You can do that in Florida, Steve. Although we've been able to do that in Wisconsin this fall. It's been incredible. So John Grise coming up at 7:05. He will be here to talk about the Napoleon Dynamite live event at the Barrymore Theater here in Madison. And we will ask him about all his really cool roles, including Uncle Rico. And I go way back with this guy in terms of following his career. I just think he's great. So I'm excited to have him on. But right now, I'm very excited to introduce my next guest. He is an incredibly accomplished TV writer, author, stand-up comedian. His TV credits are incredible. King of the Hill, Family Guy, Futurama, The Martin Short Show. He's done it all. And he joins us now on the stream, Mike Rowe. Mike, how are you?
I'm all right, man. Look at, I'm swell. It's nice to be here. I'm excited. I can't get over how much I'm starting to look more and more like Tim Walz. I think that's I think it's a good look for me.
It's not you're a more handsome Tim Walz, I think. Not that he's not handsome. He's a great, he's got that fun, but you have a more distinguished look, I think.
Yeah, I go for the puffy face thing. I go to a place, that you go in, it takes 10 minutes and they add fat to the face. I think it's wow. The trend.
It's good to see you, buddy. You have how does it feel having the same name as another guy, not nearly as talented as you, not nearly as accomplished as you necessarily, but his name comes up first on the search engines? I find that wrong.
Well, you wouldn't know, but I did a podcast when my book first came out 2 years ago or something, but and the woman who was in charge of the podcast, the host, didn't know it was not the same Mike Rowe until she saw my face on the screen on the Zoom live as it was happening. And the disappointment in her face, it was nuts. But being the trooper that I am, and she admitted it on air. Everybody knew what was going down, but I just kind of tap danced and talked about my career and life for like an hour. And she just kind of looked at me.
So before we jump into your career, and I have so many questions for you, I should state that you and I both had the distinguished opportunity to make a literacy movie for our kids' school in good old Valley Village, the section of LA there. That was pretty exciting. A little more pressure than you thought, maybe?
It was like a 12-hour shoot day. Dealing with a bunch of kids in a hot LA sun in a hot tar schoolyard. But it was a blast, it was like, it made me feel like, well, why don't I just make more short films,
Yeah.
It felt kind of fun to, whenever you can make something in this business where you get, where it's 100% pure and you don't have to deal with executives and producers and people breathing right down your neck and telling you the best way to do it, and you're doing it just for fun, it's pretty great.
I agree. And what's so great about the school our kids went to was we could use like real SAG credited movie, TV credited actors in this little fun school movie. And so much so that someone who worked on the film, I did it 2 years, I think, put the thing on IMDb. And I'm I think to help launch his child's acting career. And I had to contact IMDb and I go, look, this is a kid's reading movie. This should not be on the Internet Movie Database. And they said, I'm sorry, we're leaving it up. So I don't know if yours is up there, but I had the,
No, it's not, but I did have like a real crew and real cameramen. and the DP and all that stuff. So that was pretty great.
That is great. No, those were fun. Very fun times. Mm-hmm. And okay. So tell us about your book. It's a Funny Thing. I think this is so cool. I love when comics write about their experiences. They're fun to talk about and they're fun to read about. It's on Amazon. Tell us a little bit about it.
Here, wait, I can show you a lovely picture.
Oh, fantastic. I love the typewriter.
If you want to come to my house and buy it, you can get a bargain price. You know, it's funny. I wrote it, but just my instincts told me to write it. So I'm not sure why, except the way I thought about it was when I was a kid. I mean, I was 17 when I knew I wanted to be in show business. And then I thought, like, what if there was a book to show one person's journey into show business and how I handled, like, the trials, the tribulations, the rejection, all the stuff that you go through. It was just like, I thought, why not open a curtain a little bit? So, I think in terms of, like, a young person who's, like, you know, in a small town somewhere, it's like, can I really be in show business? Because I was a small town kid and I had a dream of being in show business. And to imagine, like, if I found a book like this to see, you know, oh, he's like me. I'd like to watch comedians on TV, but how do I do it? You know? And it's not really a how-to book. It's just like following my journey, you know? And honestly, if I was able to reach, you know, one or two people that inspired them, then it's well worth it. And that, you know, and I didn't expect much. I mean, I'm not even sure how many books I sold, but except I know at one point I was like on Amazon list between like Mel Brooks and Robin Williams, you know.
Whoa.
It was like a couple of days. And, you know, I don't know if it's a crazy algorithm fluke, but still just the idea of that happening, you know.
Take a screenshot of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think that's interesting because I spent the first part of my life in Chicago and then moved to a small town when I was 12. And I remember thinking the same thing you just said. How do I get there? What do I do? And you just start doing it. And I think it helps more than anything, kind of like to your point, just seeing that other people did it. You know what I mean? And like, it makes you think it's possible.
There's like sort of a cool innocence when you're a kid, because 17, when I knew I wanted to do stand up, and this was before the big stand up boom. And, you know, when the stand up boom was around, every little town had at least two or three comedy clubs. It'd be like an old car wash becomes a comedy club or whatever. But this was before that. So there was no place for me to try it. So instead, I would just walk into bars where there was a live band playing. And I'd find the manager. And I said, when they go on a break, can I just go up and tell jokes?
Oh, wow.
And it tells you, too, like when you're driven and when you really love something, you just kind of listen to your instincts and just go, you know. And I did it, you know. I wanted, and even then I knew I wanted to write jokes. And this is a story I always tell, but, you know, at that same time, I would watch all the comedians on TV all the time. And I'd have my little cassette recorder, listen to the comedy, listen to the rhythm, study it. And my favorite was Rodney Dangerfield. And there was a time when he was on Carson where he really kind of opened up. He was like, he never talks about his life, but he said when he started, he failed. He went by the name of Jack Roy, and he was selling aluminum siding. But now he became successful. He had a club in New York called Dangerfield's. Also, so I'm taking all this in. And then I said to myself, I know his rhythm so well and studied it so much that what if I just sent him jokes, you know?
Wow.
And again, as a kid, you know, so I got my mom's big clunky typewriter and wrote, I don't know, 8 or 10 jokes, 12 jokes, and sent them to Jackie Roy at Dangerfield's, knowing that if it goes in, that might get his attention. And then I kind of forgot about it, you know, for a couple of weeks. And then one night after dinner, and I'm in my downstairs finished off basement bedroom and the phone rings. My mom picks it up and she's at the top of the stairs. Mike, there's a Rodney on the phone for you.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd say, hey Mike, how you doing? You okay? You all right? Hey, you all right? I'm like, oh, what? Yeah. You know, a 17-year-old kid, I'm talking to like one of my heroes. And it was pretty amazing because he kept me on the phone for like 15 minutes and he's, you know, I like their jokes, you know, they're pretty good, but they're not my jokes. They're not for me, you know, but they're funny. And I told him I wanted to stand up, and he told me what clubs to go to. And he said, don't come to my club. It's no good, you know. But
wow. So,
and then like a week later, he sent me a handwritten letter, you know, saying it's going to take a long time before you're funny. And I just gave me this advice. And then as a kid, you know, you're getting that kind of encouragement. It really helps to go like, well, yeah, maybe this can really happen, you know.
That's I think that would do it. That's incredible. And that says a lot. I never knew anything about Rodney Dangerfield other than I thought he was funny. I loved when he was on Carson, but that says he's a pretty good guy too. Like to call this, but to you, Mike, at 17 going up where they're playing music and saying, can I do a couple minutes? I had to get up the nerve just to go to an open mic where they were presenting comedy, but to go up between musical acts, that's really impressive. My guest is Mike Rowe. He is a TV writer. He's written on shows such as Futurama, King of the Hill, and Family Guy, and he is with us here tonight. You can look for his book called It's a Funny Thing. That is on Amazon, a very funny book, and Mike is here for a few more minutes. You had a great reputation, Mike. When I first met you at our kids' school, I didn't know much about you. I knew you were a TV writer, but then I would meet other people, and they would go, oh, no, he was a great stand-up, too. And I was like, oh, really? So what made you – did you know you wanted to write for TV, or did you just kind of – did someone say, hey, your jokes are great, you should write? How did that transformation happen?
Well, I kind of liked writing – for other comedians along the way and helping other comedians with their stuff. And at some point as a stand-up, I knew I wasn't going to be Robert Klein. I wasn't going to be George Carlin. And then I thought, you know, and I'm 24 or 5 at this time, and I thought to myself, well, what happens when I'm 50? You know, I don't want to work on cruise ships and stuff like that, you know? So I had been writing more and more, so I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do that. I'm going to lean to that. Because I also knew I wasn't going to be an actor. I wasn't going to be a sitcom guy, you know. So, luckily I was in tune with, like, who I am and what my strengths are and what I need to do and what my, you know, what was just right for me, you know.
Absolutely. Can you compare, you've written on some of the biggest, shows in general, but certainly in animation as well. I mean, Family Guy, Futurama, King of the Hill, were all those writers' rooms similar? Was the experience similar on each, or I'm sure different showrunners, and maybe you were a showrunner on one of them, I don't know, have different processes?
Well, King of the Hill, I wasn't on staff there. It was just a script, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure why that's even out there. Anyway, but, you know, I've worked on, it's funny, I took a tally just to see, because I've been doing this a long time, and I counted every single staff of every show I've ever been on. That would include, like, award shows and game shows and talk shows, and it's almost like 55 different staffs.
That's, wow.
That, you know, being like the Comedy Central roast, those were like a week or 2 week long jobs or whatever that, but, you know, but every single staff takes on its own personality, you know,
right.
Like, for example, Futurama was certainly one of my favorites because it was really just about doing the work. It wasn't political. There weren't, you know, bullies in the room. And it was just like everybody was treated as an equal. And you felt free to say it and pitch any stupid thing you wanted that you thought could be funny. Where then I would be in another room where the person in charge was a bully. And whether he or she felt insecure about something, or I don't know what it is, but the room tightens up and it's just uncomfortable. And I'm certainly not all that funny in those situations. So, yeah, it is from show to show. The rooms certainly vary from 0 to, you know, 11. So.
My guest is Mike Rowe. We'll have a few more minutes with Mike after a very short break. We're coming right back here on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The John and Gordy Show.
Todd or Billy is on the phone.
It's really important that people take just a few minutes and educate themselves about their ballot. We finally have competitive districts here in Wisconsin, and Republicans always sneak an amendment onto our ballot. So we got to vote up and down the ballot, not leave stuff blank, not leave our voice silent.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close November 5th. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Count on us on air at 540 WAUK, on the web at WAUK Radio, and always on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Our question tonight is, what have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? Gotten some good texts so far, but join the fun, folks. Text us and we will read it on the radio. What have you been doing to keep your mind off the election? It's almost over. We're in the home stretch. Coming up at 7:05, actor John Grimes will be here from Napoleon Dynamite to talk about an event here in Madison this Saturday night. Right now, we have a few more minutes with TV writer Mike Rowe, who has written on shows like Futurama. And Mike, you also wrote for the Martin Short Show. How is he as good a guy? I've never really heard a bad thing about this guy. I've never had the opportunity to meet him, but is he as good a guy off screen as he is on?
He was fantastic. He would hang out and have lunch with the writers every day. It was such a fun gig. It didn't last that long, sadly. But the other fun thing was, you know, because I grew up on SCTV. I was a huge fan. So Martin Short would bring every once in a while one of the cast members from SCTV. Oh, and and they would do their characters, you know. So all of a sudden, I'm with Martin Short and you know Edith Prickly, you know, or you know the Count having lunch, you know, in their costumes, and it was pretty great. Yeah,
that's fun. We both have children who are sort of dipping their toe in the waters of show business and want to follow their dads into this crazy business. What do you tell your kids that want to do this?
I never suggested or encouraged him necessarily. I didn't say you should do it. And I do encourage him because I think he is naturally funny. He has it. I mean, I really feel like, you know, and if I constantly tell him, you know, if you spent as much time writing as you do on the video game, you would probably have your own show right now.
Right.
But he's still in the video game. So that didn't work.
Well, maybe he'll get him some jokes. He'll get some jokes out of it or something.
Yeah. So I help him and when he needs it and guide him and he has me look at stuff and I don't, you know, I help him as far as like, I never say like, well, this is wrong and you should do it this way. I just kind of point out like, here's a couple things you can do to make it read better, or make it clearer and get your point across. You know, I don't, you know, I let him follow his own voice and instincts, you know.
Right.
So he's choosing this. I like to think he's following his instincts, but you know, he grew up in show business. He used to come to Futurama and sit in at the table reads, and he'd be in the writer's room, him and his brother, you know, at 8, 9, 10 years old, and hanging out with Matt Groening, and, you know.
Wow. Yeah, so, that's cool. It's funny. I kind of told my son the same thing. I'm like, I never pushed him. I never even encouraged him. But once he made up his mind that he was going to do this, all you can do is encourage him. But right. But you have to say, look, even if you're really talented, it's going to take a while. You just have to be patient and enjoy the ride too, I think. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's about failing upwards.
Yeah, right. Mike, you have so many different kinds of comedy writing credits. You got a book now. You've written for the roasts. I'm sure we have tons of the same friends. You know, you've done stand-up. You've written for animated, live action, all this stuff. What is your favorite kind of comedy to write?
Good question. I do like the funny stuff that has heart. Like one of my Futurama episodes got a lot of acclaim because it was an episode where, you know, I realized if you know the show or don't, but Fry is the main character. He got pushed into the future, but it happened so fast he never got to say goodbye to his mom. So the professor in the show presented this way that he can, through a dream, go back to visit his family and find a moment to say goodbye to his mom. And finally, when that moment comes, it's actually his mom in the dream saying goodbye to him in her dream. So it was like this real emotional moment that is not typical, you know, Futurama stuff. So I like writing that kind of stuff. I kind of like everything, like whatever, you know. I think I'm still trying to find and figure out my strengths, really, you know. at this point,
I is that the one? Did you win an Emmy for that? I know you won an Emmy. Was that the episode?
No. Which one was it? Why do I forget which one? But that one was a Writers Guild Award for the the dream one. So yeah. I can't remember the Emmy one. I don't know.
I could see the awards behind you. I believe you have them though. That's the
award. They're carefully placed over my shoulder. I hired a crew to know exactly where to put them. Had a lighting team come in to make sure they show properly.
They did a bang up job. Hey buddy, this was fun. I hope we could do it again. I had a lot more questions for you, but we're running out of time here, but I really appreciate your time. And I hope you do figure out what it is you're supposed to be writing comedically, because so far you're doing everything pretty damn well. So thank you so much.
I'm chasing my rainbows.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. All right. That's Mike Rowe. Check out Futurama. All of his shows, I think, are in syndication now. And if you watch Comedy Roasts, Mike is a good chance he's been a part of those too. We just had Roger Rittenhouse on, Conrad, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
3 weeks ago? Yeah, Roger's a big roast writer, too. I'm sure those guys know each other. All right, this is fun. We're going to keep this thing moving. Barreling through some crazy great guests tonight. When we come back, after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed, John Grise will be here from the movie Napoleon Dynamite. He played Uncle Rico, and we will talk to John about an event coming up here in Madison. It's going to be fun. Don't leave. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Progress we have found.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.